Welcome back to the Dirty Soapbox, where my soapbox might be dirty, but my kicks are clean. And I really want to jump right into people having a very false perception of reality. And let me say this, you can change your reality. You can have enough faith and enough belief to actually change your reality, meaning that your actions will change your reality based on the way you think. So usually if someone changes their thinking, their reality will change. Now the key word in that whole thing I just said was there. Their reality will change. But there are three realities. There is actually your reality, there's a reality that's presented, and then there's actually real reality. And most of us live in our own reality, meaning we can't see past our own or what we think is real. So I got two athletes here. I have Colin Kaepernick and I have Kyrie Irving. I'm going to start with Kyrie Irving because that's fresh on my mind. Kyrie Irving posted this long thing on social media about how it's the sport's just a game and the fans, and you know, it's not for the love of the sport, it's for entertainment, and nobody cares about the athlete. Just this whole philosophical tearjerker, if you will. It was a dramatization. It was a script from a lifetime, a monologue from a lifetime movie. I mean, I'm just like, Kyrie is just literally, he has too much sense for his own good. You know, some of you all out there, knowing as much as you know hinders you. Being as aware as you are hinders you. You know why? Because a lot of you all aren't built for it. You weren't built to be able to handle this much information or this much responsibility or this much awareness. You weren't equipped to have your third eye open. Everybody wants to be woke, but do you all really know what being woke is? Imagine seeing something that nobody else could see, but you knew it was real. Imagine being able to predict the future. Imagine these gifts. Imagine to be able to see something that no one else can see, but is real. Do you know how stressful that is? Do you know how stressful it is to see something that nobody else sees? Or to be able to predict the future that hasn't happened yet? Do you know how stressful that is for your mind, for your spirit? How much of a burden that is? Everybody wants to be in the know, not realizing that you have to be equipped to be in the know. You got to be built for it. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, I got to be built for it. Turn to your other neighbor and say, we got to be built for it. You got to be built for this type of information. So Kyrie has an epiphany or an awakening, or Kyrie's been in the know. The only problem is, Kyrie, you're a basketball player. And nobody is forcing you to play basketball. You are a basketball star, actually. Nobody's forcing you to be a basketball star. Somebody said, that one commentator said, shut up and dribble. Now, I don't necessarily agree with the context in which she said it all the way. But I understand what she's saying. She's saying that, my interpretation of it, if I was to say it, is that nobody is forcing you to play sports. Now, I know when she said it, she was referring to LeBron James talking about social issues, but I'm saying shut up and dribble in the sense that, or shut up and throw, or shut up and catch, in the sense that nobody's forcing you all to pay these sports, to play these sports and get paid a lot of money. Nobody is forcing you all to do this. So what are you complaining about? Do you know how many people would kill just to get the league minimum in most professional sports? Nobody is forcing you all to play these sports. What happens is you all get your reality shaken when people don't buy the narrative. When people don't buy the narrative, I see all these celebrities crack like fine china. I see all these celebrities crack like some cocaine. I see all these celebrities fold when the general public doesn't buy the narrative. So Kyrie Irving, nobody's buying the narrative. And let's be honest, man. Let's just be honest. Kyrie's one of those guys. He's a Kevin Durant type guy. He's a DeMar DeRozan type guy. He's the type of guy that's a sensitive type of guy. He's a sensitive type of guy. And they come across and play like they're cool, but these guys are really sensitive. They wear their heart on their sleeve, on their pants, on their shoes, on their hat. These are sensitive type of guys, and they absorb everything. They're like sponges, so if someone says something or does something, these guys absorb it and it hits them to the core. These guys are very sensitive. These aren't like Michael Jordan and Kobe. Even LeBron. LeBron, for as grandiose as everybody thinks that he is very sensitive. He's just like Kevin Durant and Kyrie, DeMar DeRozan, and many of these other guys. The only difference is LeBron's able to control the narrative, but he's just like him. LeBron is playing right now with a piece of rug on top of his head. I mean, trust me, he cares about what people think. And let's be honest, most of us care about what people think, but just not to an unnecessary degree. Kyrie Irving really is a guy that's probably narcissistic and sensitive. He's probably a loner, and he wants to be liked by everybody. He's one of those type of guys. He's one of those guys that is just, you can't really satisfy, basically. He'll never be satisfied. He won't be pleased. So everything rubs him the wrong way. I could imagine you couldn't challenge Kyrie. You couldn't tell Kyrie he was doing something. I just know these type of guys. No different than LeBron. No different than Kevin Durant. Michael Jordan and Kobe, a little different. They're going to try to kill you. They're bent on death and destruction. They want to kill you. They want to destroy you. That's how their mindset is of these guys. That's how they are. These other guys, they're very sensitive. You got guys like Giannis, Greek Freak. He's not very sensitive. He's not a sensitive type of guy. You can tell. Kawhi Leonard, he's not sensitive. You can tell. Like, some guys in NBA, you can tell they're just not sensitive type of guys. So the stuff people says to them, if it bothers them, it doesn't bother them to the point where you see them crack. And if it does bother them, they're probably going to set out to prove everybody wrong. It's a big difference. But Kyrie is in a position where he thinks that the world is flat. And that's his prerogative. He can think the world is flat. The only problem is he thinks the world is flat, and he thinks it revolves around him, and it doesn't. The world doesn't revolve around Kyrie. And I think right now he's realizing that it doesn't. You see, most of these guys and most of these people in society feel like once they accomplish a certain thing or get to a certain level, that everything they do is good and they're validated, not realizing that people are going to judge you whether you're on the top or the bottom. That's why I always tell people to do you. Do what you want to do. You can't play basketball for the adoration of fans. You got to play the game because you love it. And Kyrie, although he says he loves the game, I don't believe it. Because a person that really loves the game is playing that first game back in Boston. I'm sorry. If a person, and you know what I also said? I said, Kyrie Irving is not going to last a full season. And I said it about Steph Curry too. They are not going to last a full season. They're just not built for it. They're great players, but they're not built to have that kind of load on them for an entire season. It took Steph 4 games. It took Kyrie maybe 4 or 5 games till he got hurt. He's been out. So these guys, but Steph Curry is not like Kyrie. He's not sensitive like Kyrie. So I don't want to put him in the same category. Steph is not sensitive like him. Steph is his own man. And you can see it because Steph doesn't bother Steph like it bothers Kyrie. All I'm saying is Kyrie Irving is faced with reality now. And the reality is it's not the NBA. It's not fans. It's not that basketball. He has to look in the mirror and he sees that it's him. And what terrifies him is the fact that he has to look in that mirror and he has a decision to make. Most of the people aren't afraid of the mirror. They're afraid of what they see after they look into the mirror. What is that mirror going to show me? Because whatever that mirror shows you is going to put you with a decision to make. So now Kyrie has a decision. His decision is, do I continue to jug or do I become the man I should have been? That is a tough position to be in. Because if you're in that position, I can guarantee you've been jugging more than you've been attempting to be the man you should have been. So you're used to that guy. Kyrie is used to being Kyrie. And I can imagine he's tough to deal with. I know guys like this. These guys want to run their mouth, but then they're sensitive. Trust me, I know people like this, and it's hilarious. It is hilarious to me that you can act like a goon, but be sensitive. It's going to never work. So Kyrie is basically philosophical Irving now, and he basically wants us to believe that he has it all figured out and we don't get it. But I'm here to tell you, Kyrie, I get it. I know what you're going through. And the only way to get out of this situation, which has been following you your entire career, is for you to make that decision. For you to own up to your fears and make that decision and just be the man you should be. You decided to play basketball. So guess what? Be the best basketball player that you can be. You decided to be a basketball player. Then be the best basketball player you can be. I'm not saying you can't be philosophical. I'm not saying you can't read books. I'm not saying you can't think the earth is flat. I'm simply saying if you sign up to be a basketball player, then be the best basketball player you can be. At the end of the day, nobody will care about your philosophical views. They will only care about you being on that basketball court and performing. Now let me get on Kaepernick. It just baffles my mind that Kaepernick feels so strongly about the NFL colluding against him and blackballing him, but yet he still wants to play for him. Somebody put an analogy up and they said, like, Kaepernick was the runaway slave that made it and the other slaves didn't want to leave with him. And I said, this is one of the memes I saw, and I said, no, he actually, in that analogy, he would be the slave that was fighting, that got away, but was fighting to get back on the plantation. You see, a lot of this stuff people do and put out there is not dealing with reality. It's just dealing with their version of reality. And I mean, Kaepernick has to know that the NFL is not going to change the way they do business for him. I don't think black people understand that you can't be an activist and get a paycheck. You can't be a revolutionary and get a paycheck. I don't understand what's going on in Kaepernick's mind and his team mind to think that they can go to the NFL and call shots. This is the 100th year anniversary for the NFL. Up until about 3 years ago, the NFL was a nonprofit. Think about that. The Green Bay Packers are still a nonprofit. Think about that. That's how ahead of the game the NFL is, to where this multi-billion dollar company could be considered a non-profit. Do you understand what we're dealing with here? Do you honestly think you're going to come in there and make the NFL yield to anything? People say, well, they settled. Yeah, they settled. Why not? It's nothing. It was chump change. They settled. It was chump change to them. Do you all think Kaepernick and Eric Reid got a large sum of money? They didn't get $50 million apiece. Stop it. Of course the NFL settled. It was easy. They wanted to settle, and Cap took the settlement, and Eric Reid took the settlement because they still wanted to play in the NFL. What I don't agree with is people saying the NFL is so terrible, but every week they're still cashing checks. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with a woman telling me a guy is so bad, but yet she's still accepting gifts from him. Or a guy that she doesn't want to date because she's not attracted to him, or he's not her type, but yet she's still taking the dinners, taking the gifts, taking the trips. You can't complain. You can't be a victim and cash the check. Nike is up $26 billion from this whole campaign. You can't be a revolutionary and get a paycheck. I don't understand the reality these people are living in. There's no way Kaepernick can think this makes any sense, because it doesn't. Do you honestly think you're going to get up there and basically call the NFL cowards? You basically call the NFL owners and coaches cowards, but you want to play for them. Where does that work? And I see a lot of black people doing this. Black people are living in I can't even say their own reality. Black people are delusional. We are delusional. We honestly think that the system has to conform to us. Now, the system will conform to us if we take drastic measures. If we stop spending that black dollar, they'll come knock at our front door. They will. I'm just trying to understand what Kaepernick could be thinking in this whole thing. I'm not knocking his stance. I'm not knocking why he kneeled or knelt. I'm simply saying, if you want to play in the NFL, it's going to be by their rules. If you want to play in the National Football League, it's going to be by their rules. So it can't just be about you playing football, because you could have played in the CFL and you could have played in the Arena Football League. You want to play in the NFL because you still want to be an NFL quarterback. You still want to be a starting NFL quarterback. No different than Carmelo still wanted to get in, back in the NBA. And I'm seeing Carmelo playing, and I'm telling you all right now on this podcast, it's not going to work. I saw him go one-on-one against Giannis, trying to wave away a pick, got to the lane and missed the shot. I'm telling you, it's not going to work. Because Carmelo doesn't want to play in the NBA because he loves basketball. He wants to play in the NBA because he likes being an NBA player. He likes being in the league. He likes being recognized. Yeah, he likes his ego stroked. I know these type of guys. He's not playing because he loves the game. He wants to go out there and show out. Carmelo can't lead no team nowhere to do what? To do nothing. Everybody's keep saying he deserves to be in the league. Yes, he deserves to be in the NBA. He does not deserve to be a star, because he's not going to do what it takes for his team to win. So no. Carmelo out there trying to take Giannis one-on-one. Man, stop. That's a first-team all-league defender. 6'11 athletic. You're doing too much. But guess what? You're not doing it to win the game. You're doing it to show everybody out that you can still play. You're trying to prove everybody wrong. Clean your name up. The only thing that will clean your name up, ladies and gentlemen, is character. Your character has to be consistent. When your character is consistent, it leaves no doubt. Chauncey Billups said the best about him. He said when we won and he scored maybe 20 or 22 points, he was sad. He said, but if they lost and he had over 30, he was happy. I know what type of person this is. And I'm looking at Kaepernick, and I know what type of person this is. He is the typical black person in America. The typical, instead of going out on my own, instead of doing it on my own, instead of like Master P said, let's start our own, instead of wanting to create your own, you still want to go to the system and ask them to recognize you. Ask them to consider you. Is it begging? Yeah, it's begging. You know why it's begging? It's begging because how you gonna talk bad about somebody and then ask for something? I talk so bad about the girl, but now I go ask her for something. I know a guy, man, he talked bad about this girl. Talked bad about the girl. Next thing I know, I see him out somewhere with the chick. He talked back, called a thought, everything. He talked bad about the girl, but I saw him out with the chick, and guess what? I know he paid. See, I know when you talk bad about somebody, but you still want something from them, you're going to compromise yourself. You can't be a revolutionary and get a paycheck. I'm going to say that again. If you talk bad about somebody, but you still want something from them, you're going to compromise yourself because you're going to go against your principles. You can't talk bad about the NFL and still want to play for them. You can't talk bad about the Roger Goodell and the owners and still want to play for them. That's not how that works. That's not reality. That works nowhere in the real world. Where does that work? Where I get to talk bad about somebody and then get something from them. Well, you can talk bad about somebody and get something from them, but guess what? They're going to make you pay for it. They're going to make you pay for it. They are going to make you suffer and pay for it, and rightly so. And rightly so. There is no way I can think something is racist and still want to be a part of it. There is no way I could think something is racist and still subject myself to that racist entity. There's no way. You mean to tell me the NFL is racist and you want them to have control over your livelihood? It doesn't make sense. But it's not reality, though. It's not reality. Because the reality situation is the NFL is in control and you're not. That's all. And you know why they're in control? Because all these players in the NFL want to play. They love football. But even beyond loving football, they still love what comes with being an NFL player. See, we're not talking about these guys' egos. That gets lost in the sauce, these guys' egos, these guys' character, who these guys really are. Am I saying Cap's a bad person? No. Am I saying Kyrie's a bad person? No. I'm simply saying these young men are not dealing with reality. They're not dealing with reality. Because the reality of it is, you can't call any shots because you're not in a position to call any shots. We need our own. If we had our own, then we can call our own shots. We need our own league. So how the protest should have been, how it should have went was, once the NFL said you guys can't kneel and you guys can't do this, you guys are not getting paid this, you guys, once the NFL stunned on the players, then the player got a decision to make. Either stay in the NFL or leave. Or sit out a game. I prefer leave. I prefer totally having our own. But these guys don't think like that. Because at the end of the day, deep down inside, these guys still want what the NFL has to offer. These guys still want what the NBA has to offer. They still want it. You can't be a revolutionary and cash a check. You can't be an activist and cash a check. I just told you all, Nike is up $26.2 billion. And who you think is buying these Nike products? Who you think is going to go out there and support these Kaepernick-endorsed, Nike Kaepernick-endorsed products? Black people. That's who's going to do it. The same black people screaming that the NFL is racist, the same black people watching the NFL, the same black people boycotting the NFL but supporting the guy that wants to play in the NFL, the same black people are going to spend their money. And I always say, it always comes back to the black dollar. It always comes back to the black dollar. I don't want what I'm saying about Kyrie and Kaepernick to be misinterpreted. I support Kyrie and I support Cap. I just think their energy is misplaced because I don't think they have an end goal in mind. And I would ask anybody, what is your end goal? Like, what's your end goal? Like, with everything you're doing, Kyrie, what do you hope to come of all this? Kaepernick, what do you hope to come of all this? I'm asking, what do you hope? What's the end result? Because last I checked, Kyrie, you were a basketball player. Last I checked, you wanted to be the best basketball player you could be. But somehow that got lost in the sauce. And now you're talking about being, now you want to be a Socrates or Plato. I get it. But nobody's going to care. Because you decided to play basketball. You decided to put in all that blood, sweat, and tears to be a great basketball player. And now you having a problem with how this thing is working out? Now you don't like it? When things aren't going your way, now is something wrong with the game? Is something wrong with everybody else and not you? Come on, man. The NBA has always been what it is. Sports have always been what they are. It's always been entertainment. Since the Roman Colosseum, the gladiators, watching people get mangled for sport, getting cut limb to limb for sport and cheering. It's always been entertainment. Now, is something wrong with it? Now, I can't go with it. What's your end game? Kaepernick, this whole thing started with you kneeling for police brutality, specifically towards black people. Help me out. Why is nobody mentioning that? When they put the cameras in front of your face and the microphones, you made it about you versus the NFL and not your initial reason for kneeling. What's your end game? Because right now, police brutality is an afterthought. We're not even mentioning that. It's now Kaepernick versus the NFL. It's now Kyrie versus the fans and the game and I don't know. What is your end game? What do you hope to accomplish from all of this? Tell me. You were kneeling for police brutality. You got blackballed. You want a collusion settlement. And now you want to play for the NFL start all over again. Doesn't make sense. What's your end game? Kyrie, you left Cleveland. You went to Boston. Now you're in Brooklyn where you want to be. And you're still not happy? What's your end game? You see, the tough thing to admit is that maybe these people didn't have pure intentions in the beginning. I'm one to believe that if a person sets out to do something and they don't have an end game in mind, that means they actually don't even have a plan. That means what they're doing based on their feelings and not based on principle. Many of you all might get upset. I don't believe if Kaepernick thought for 1 second, if I kneel on this football field, I will never play football again in the NFL. I don't believe he would kneel down. And guess what? You don't believe he would kneel either. There's no way I believe he would have still knelt if he felt like he would never play football again. Keep in mind, after he was kneeling, he started 6 games because Gabbert got hurt. He went to free agency thinking he's going to get picked up. I don't think it crossed his mind that he wasn't going to play football. And to me, if you ask me if it's between revolutionary and starting quarterback, scratch that. Let me up the stakes. If it's between being on Malcolm X's level or being a Super Bowl MVP, I honestly believe he's going to pick Super Bowl MVP. Kyrie running his mouth, being philosophical, but if he could pick flat earth or finals MVP, he's going to pick finals MVP. I look at a person's character. I look at what they say and how they say it. I look at what they do and how they do it. I look at a person's character. And I'm looking at two young men that really don't have a well thought out plan. And part of that is inexperience. And part of that is misplaced passion. But to me, most of it is just ego. When we peel back these layers and these narratives, it's just ego. All it is ego. People wanting somebody to kiss their because they feel they are more important than they really are. And that's what all this boils down to me. And I'm not knocking anybody's movement. I'm not knocking anybody's beliefs. I'm simply saying, if you don't have an end game in mind, you don't have a vision of where you want to see this thing end, then it tells me everything. And how do I know you don't have an end game? I know based on the path you're taking, because the path you're taking keeps changing with the wind. It keeps shifting with the tide, the current. But I support these two young men, and I hope they figure it out. I hope they listen to this podcast. And I also hope they look in the mirror and have enough courage to do what's right. And doing what's right is what your spirit is telling you to do. Where is your spirit leading you? And your spirit is not leading you, then you're doomed anyway. I would like to thank you all for tuning in to the Dirty Soapbox, where my soapbox might be dirty, but my kicks are clean. I remember watching a movie, Mad Max: Glory Road, and the Charlize Theron character was trying to escape where she was, and she actually kidnapped, like, I think 4 or 5 virgins, and she was taking them to the promised land, essentially a place that was, this is a post-apocalyptic world now, and it's a barren wasteland pretty much everywhere. So she's taking them to a place, and she's going to a place that's plush with greenery and food and water and just like the land flowing with milk and honey, like the promised land. And so she kidnaps these virgins and she leaves, but the guy that runs this whole thing, the world she's at now, the place she's in now, goes after her. And so the glory road is the road to glory, essentially, from the title, and that they're going to the promised land, this journey to the promised land. And people have died, and people have, you know, been injured, and people have switched sides. And when she finally gets there, it's a barren wasteland. It's a desert. She falls to her knees. She takes her prosthetic arm off, throws on the ground, like she's done, and she's like, it's over. And when she gets there, she encounters some women that are there, they've been there for a while, and these women that are there are really prepared for a journey, because where they are is a barren wasteland, so they're actually prepared to go somewhere where they can start a new place, a new promised land. she's crying, and Mad Max tells her, he says, listen, this is a pivotal point in the movie. This is actually the best point, the best part of the movie. Mad Max tells her, he says, it seems like to me that what you're looking for is back where you came from. Now, keep in mind, where she came from was kind of plush. They had running water, they had vegetation, it was people there, it was civilization there. It wasn't a barren wasteland, but the people were oppressed. And the guy that was in control was evil and wicked. He was controlling everything. So she gets enough courage to go back. Now, what is Mad Max telling her? Mad Max is telling her that a lot of times we're running from something thinking there's something good that we're going to. And running from something bad doesn't mean you're running to something that's good. Running from something could just mean you are not facing your fears. And to me, this glory role was about facing your fears. It was about looking in a mirror and seeing the person that you should be versus the person that you are. And so they decide to go back. But guess what? On a journey back, they got to fight to go back. They got to go back. So, and in the end, she was the one that freed the people. Story sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? That story is what we face every day, all day. And that is running from who we're supposed to be. Literally running from who we're supposed to be, thinking that we're running to who we want to be. And deep down inside, honestly, we all want to be the best version of ourselves. Because that's our spirit talking. Our spirit wants what's best for us. What does it say? The flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Your spirit is always about it. Your spirit is always pushing you to be at your best. But the question is, are you listening to it? Are you listening to your spirit? So I say all that to say that whatever you do in life, just make sure it's challenging you to be the best version of yourself. And make sure you hop on a journey that there is a destination in mind, that we're not just aimlessly walking or traveling. Remember when Forrest Gump was running for like 3 years, and then one day he realized, what am I doing? I'm going home. You know why? Because there wasn't an end in sight. If there's no end in sight, then what's the purpose? That's all. What's the purpose? Many of us will have to go back through Glory Road. We're going to have to go back through that treacherous journey that we went through. We have to go back because where we were meant to be was back there. What was Mad Max telling her? Mad Max was telling her that the promised land is where you decide to make it. And I'm telling you all the same thing. Your promised land is going to be the land that you create. It will be the land that you create. At the end of your journey, that's where you will rest. Thank you.